off to the races. Any last questions before we start?
Leroy Jenkins.
That's not a question, so I'll say we're good.
I'm also extremely disappointed.
Disappointed in what, Joel?
I bought one of those Fortnite micro shots, the one that has the removable crown. The crown is it doesn't really go on. It's gonna get lost in like 5 seconds. It physically does not connect.
All your hopes dashed. That's a sad.
I thought
sad
I was getting a
jolt
with a crown. Really, I'm just getting a jolt and a crown.
Perhaps the real jolts with the crowns were the friends we made along the way, or just you.
You could just hot glue it.
You could just hot glue it, and then you could eat it. Mm. Hello, and welcome to the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast, episode 18. Today is September 7th, Thursday. I am here with my regular co-hosts. The whole team is here. We've got JoltKing627, VileMods, and Grimm's NerfWorks.
Yo.
Say what's up,
what
folks.
Up?
What up?
And we are also here with guests from the World Foam Alliance. We have Andrew, a.k.a. Dart Sweep. Am I supposed to say it before you say it? I already did it, I guess. And Nate, the software engineer behind the World Foam Alliance website. Hello, folks.
How's it going? Great to be here.
Hello, my fellow foam-flinging enthusiasts.
As always, to start off the show, I just want to clarify, today is Thursday. If I say this as if we didn't just get a giant pile of stuff that we're working into the show, but we may not know about some news that will happen between now and Saturday, so don't be in the comments like, oh, this thing happened on Friday night. We know. There is a thing called scheduling. Also, this is the Partner Podcast 2, episode 18, so if you have watched the episode, we will probably assume that you already know the things that have happened in it. So it might make sense to go watch the episode first, but you can probably get through the podcast without that. I really quickly would just want to, for anyone that doesn't know who y'all are, I think most of the hobby knows who Andrew is, but maybe you want to give a little background on who you are in the hobby real quick, just for folks who might not have bumped into you before.
Sure. I am Andrew, a.k.a. Dart Sweep. I am one of the Nerf Club owners for the Maryland Foam Alliance, which includes Southern Maryland House of Nerf, Maryland Nerf Herders, and DMV Nerfers, which is the club I run. Also one of the organizers for the Maryland Mayhem weekend event that takes place in the spring. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I got to say, I was at Maryland Mayhem, and it was a really, really great time. You did fabulous work there.
I've heard nothing but good things about it from friends who attended. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good. So great work on that. I'm looking forward to next year's. Maybe I can hopefully get down to some other smaller event during the year. Just come down for a random war sometime.
We'd love to have you all.
Yeah. Nate, why don't you introduce yourself as well? I think you're doing really important work on the back line of something that I think is going to be big for our hobby. So let the people know who you are.
Sure. I'm Nate. I'm brand spanking new to this. February, March is when I was recruited to help build a website for what we're doing now. So I'm head first into the community. You might see me in the Discord, but I basically make websites. And that's it. Not any foam flinging experience at all, but man, having a great time, having a blast so far. don't judge me too hard here on the on the website beta. Working through it, but that's
me. I think we're really excited to have your perspective on some of the stuff that we talk about today, because it can be really easy to kind of get inside our heads when all of us are so imbued in the hobby. It's cool to hear someone who's coming up in it for the first time.
Yeah, well, welcome to the hobby. May I introduce you to hot glue?
Thank
you.
Welcome.
I've dabbled in 3D printing, dabbled in hot glue, for, say the least. So it's been great so far. Everyone's been really welcoming. It's been fantastic.
You'll fit right in. I mean, that's a big part of, like, we've talked about this a lot on this podcast where, you know, Vile and I previously, we say this all the time, but we previously knew each other in a completely different hobby. We modded old video game consoles for music making, for chiptune stuff. And we knew each other on different websites and then went our separate ways and then found each other again in this hobby. But we both have different, like, I've done a lot of electrical work. I used to repair electronic musical instruments and, like, do all this stuff. And that came right into this hobby. Vile has a big old engineering and, like, fabricating background, and a lot of that has gone into his modding stuff. So any set of, like, tinkering that you've done or anything like that, you'll find it's like, oh, there's a place for this here, which is one of the things that's really cool about this hobby, I think. One of the first things we always do on this show is when we're producing the new show itself, we get a lot of stories submitted, and some of them don't wind up making the show for one reason or another. And for a while, it seemed like this episode was actually going to be kind of thin, and then suddenly we had a whole bunch of last-second stuff thrown at us. And so I'm actually kind of glad we didn't include a few of these things, but we definitely want to give them some time on the podcast, just so that people hopefully will hear about them, because some of these things are very, very cool. The first one, which is a real quick one, is the X-Shot Longshot has started appearing in Canada, specifically at Canadian Tire. This is, as far as I can tell, the first time that it's appeared there for sale. And we've talked a bunch about the Longshot being sort of the international Nexus Pro. It seems to have wider distribution overall. So this is, like, interesting, but we usually don't, if it's just, like, one blaster that already exists appearing in a new country, we don't usually give that coverage. So now, if you're in Canada, go buy an X-Shot Longshot if you want one. The next thing that got skipped over was the F-Tech 1 Gen 2 being released. And, Vile, did you look up on this one?
Yeah, I went a little bit into it. So it was... there wasn't an official date that I could find. You know, it's just an F-Tech 1 with a couple of new updates to it, obviously being Gen 2. From what I could tell, you know, people had built one back, you know, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and the files, everything, even the install guide or the kit guide was from almost a month ago. And you know, from what I was finding, it you know, it's already up to release 1.3, so it's even kind of late. I think it might have gotten, you know, kind of just under the radar. We didn't notice it, and it's not really a new release. It's just that not really anybody kind of knew that there was a second generation of it really coming out. So we kind of just decided to skip it only because we couldn't actually officially find that it was a new release.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of one of those things.
I was, like, messing around with the Wayback Machine, trying to, like, confirm the date.
Yeah, we couldn't find anything. We checked their Instagram account and tried to see if there was any posts, and there was no real official post of when it went live. And again, you know, there's already a version 1.3 of the Gen 2, which, you know, as far as I'm seeing, that's multiple reiterations, so it's been released for a while.
That, even if we did cover it, I'm sure just like last episode when we covered the McDonald's thing, we'll get like 1,001 comments of people being like, actually, this thing came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, we went on the dive, we checked, we were looking at all of this. The best you're going to get is it's been around at least by a month, if not more, longer. And again, it is it's an F-Tech 1 with a few new updates to it. That's in at the end of the day. Is that really a new release, or is it just, you know,
an update for people who are already into the platform? And also, as a note to creators who are doing really, really cool work, hey, use your social media. If you release something, like, make a big post that you released it so that these kinds of questions are not obvious. Like, I'm surprised that anybody knew about this, because it's like I couldn't find any information about it other than just to,
you
like,
probably
find
had
the
to
actual
have been
listing.
Following it quite heavily to notice that.
Sometimes things just go past people and they don't see it. Like, I know we've had a couple instances where the tie-in micro shots for the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie been brought up again and again because people hadn't seen them, so they thought they were new, even though they've been out for months and months and months.
That's right.
It kind of reminds me of the Fortnite Primal thing. We covered it in, like, a community post, and we still get occasionally people in the Discord hopping in being like, hey, have you guys seen this thing?
Well, we did talk about it. We did bring it up in the show after that.
Did we?
It was just, yeah.
My memory's all fuzzy with that stuff.
There's so many things. Who knows?
Like, we've been doing this almost a year now.
It's wild. Moving forward, Hotcoin has a couple things going on. Hotcoin and Silly Butts are collaborating on a rolling block rifle blaster. Hotcoin, of course, does really, really cool concept sketches of blasters with really unique curves and shapes that are... a few different creators have started bringing some of those to life. Silly Butts is now doing one. The rolling block rifle, I was looking at it for a second. It's like a break action thing, I think. It looks really, really cool, but even though it was reported to us as news, it is very much in a beta form, and we usually kind of wait until these things are ready for release, and people can actually go download files. Similarly, Hotcoin is working on one of his own blasters, Hopper Tube Magazine. I'm blanking on what those things are called.
RSV
pistol.
Is it RSVP or whatever they call it?
See, I'm from when these things were like commonplace in the hobby, and even I can't remember what the full thing is.
Yeah, I don't remember. RSVP, whatever.
It's like a...
I think it was RSCB. RSCB.
It is RSCB. I think it's an acronym for the people who invented it.
Okay. Fine. Anyway, it looks really cool. Again, very beta stage. We're going to wait on it. But if you're into that, look up Hotcoin. Check it out. Silly Butts is also working on a Mega XL cylinder blaster, similar situation. It looks really, really neat. It's similar to, if anyone remembers Megan, it was like a Mega XL, like little cannon, and it had some weird issues, but like was just kind of a cool idea.
I believe it's supposed to be modeling after the ERTL shotgun. I think is what it was.
Oh, that makes sense.
That old
thing. With the big rotating barrel.
Yeah, it's based on the... Yeah, those. I think they were commonly modded into the Doomsayer popular mod back when
it was in
the hobby. Those things are super sweet.
So it looks really cool. Definitely check out Silly Butts' YouTube if that sounds interesting to you. It looks like a project that's a few steps away from becoming a reality. But when it becomes a reality, we will be sure to cover it. And that's it. That's all of the news we didn't cover. Instead we have a show chock full of whatever we made. I don't know.
For some reason my brain was blanking for a second and I was like, that's it? The podcast over? All right, goodbye guys.
No, it is not. In fact, right now we get to pick our guests' brains about something very new and big coming about in the hobby, which is a big collaborative effort between a number of different creators, and it is the World Foam Alliance, and it is still in a nascent stage in some ways, but one of the things that has been really interesting has been that y'all have started making a lot of content recently, even though, you know, the website isn't fully up and running yet. But let's start on a more basic level. Maybe if one of you wants to just give our audience the background on it, and from your perspective... What is the World Foam Alliance? How did it come about? And what is it here to do? How is it here to make foam flinging better?
Nate, you want to start or?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I'll start. Basically, the World Foam Alliance is, from my perspective, I'm new. So how I attached to this idea was, I had no idea this thing existed. The whole community... Dart blasting in general, the hobby's so huge, it's so depthy, and I had no idea it existed. And really what drew me in was we've got a bunch of different people in the community, and we have an opportunity to make it popular, at least as popular to the general public inside and outside the community, where it's not its potential. So that's sort of what it was, an idea of like, hey, let's get everybody organized, you know. I mean, one of my first questions was, all right, how do we find, how do you even know what's going on? Well, you troll Facebook, hop into Discord. It's basically, there's a lot of fragmentation on it. So that was sort of the general idea, to sort of bring it all together, because it is cool, it's really fun, and it's a shame, really, that it's not all over the place, at least in my opinion.
Right.
So that's my opinion from a newbie's perspective.
We're like really fragmented as a community across a whole bunch of different websites.
I mean, yeah, even when I first joined the hobby, it was kind of weird because he had the the ashes of Nerfhaven and Nerfhaven for however long it was active while it was still around. Then he had Reddit that was just starting to be up and coming. And Discord wasn't even, I don't even think Discord had actually launched when I joined the hobby. So it was just like, you had Facebook, but I didn't have a Facebook account. And so it was just hard to find anything back then. Most of where you found stuff back then, at least if you were my age, was YouTube. And now it's just kind of like, it's everywhere, and everyone has their niche they picked, and they're like wanting to stick there and only there, kind of.
I picked Discord.
It seemed for a moment like we were going to lose Reddit, and Reddit, in a lot of ways, has been a big part of like the public facing side of the hobby. Like it's one of the, like it's either that or a YouTube video that you find
that, or I'd almost argue as well as it. Facebook, at least for some of the older audiences, considering I used to be really active on the Facebook side of the community. That's the amount of like places for that is staggering.
So it sounds like a lot of the idea behind the World Foam Alliance is actually outward reaching. Like it definitely is trying to organize things within the community, but it sounds like a big part of that goal is bringing new, I mean, as a new person to the hobby yourself, Nate, it feels like bringing new people in is a big part of the goal.
It is. Well, and that's what drew me in right away is, you know, something like, I cannot believe I've never heard of this. And I mean, just the applications, not even from just sport itself, but just, you know, you see kids, for example, getting into 3D printing, getting into like STEM fields, because now they can apply math to like modding out a blaster. Like it's super cool. Mm-hmm. Like in all ages, all genders, you know, everyone can participate. I was just shocked that it was just, you know, such a thing that's potentially so awesome all the way around, especially these days, you know, just was more niche.
Yep.
But for inside the community, and that's where, you know, Andrew would have much more perspective than me. I feel like when you concentrate anything or bring it all together, not only obviously one of the goals is to get everybody we can interested in the sport, but you're right. That's another huge component as well. If it doesn't make it more conducive, easier, if it doesn't lower any, you know, barriers within the community, why would anyone join who has already got this thing figured out, you know?
Right.
So, and that's another challenge, but we believe too, you know, let's say if you're trying to start a club, let's say, well, you know, now if we provide you a free place where you can go and click a button and have a club and immediately recruit members, you don't have to worry about necessarily, oh, I got to make a website or I got to do the, just little, it's smaller, I think, the gains. Obviously, if you've already had it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's, at least we still think that there's still a lot of opportunity, efficiency within the community themselves for this thing. And Andrew might have some more perspective on that specifically, because I don't know the nuances of inside the community as much.
Well, that's part of the next kind of thing I was wondering, because I've noticed a lot of content being generated out of the WFA by people who already are content creators in the scene, but now there's the podcast that Andrew that you're doing, and then Xavier is doing Xavier and Al the Geek have their call-in show. You're gonna have to remind me of the names of them as we go. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
And what's the podcast?
So it's a live streaming show, actually. So
right. Okay.
Yeah. Eventually, hopefully, it'll translate to a podcast format at some point. But yeah, there is the Foam Zone, which is the live streaming show,
right,
and that alternates with Al's and Xavier's call-in show, which is Get Off My Lawn. And then Al has his own feature show called The Forge, where he paints and mods his blasters. And then Xavier has his show called The Range, where basically people can vote on what kind of blaster or ammo they'd like to see him test fire at his range. So it's interactive in that regard. So
What really is like the relationship between sort of the partner creators in the WFA and the WFA itself? Are you all organizers in the WFA, or have you just been brought in to do some of the like outward facing work on it? Like, how does that work? How does that relationship work?
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to your first question, how it came about and why we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, part of it was, you know, Derek Sykes, who is the Dart Zone brand ambassador, came on board with Dart Zone, I think, during the End War 2022 Dart Zone Foam Pro Tour. And then I built a relationship with him through him coming to some of the local events, ended up helping him out on some convention type settings. And at some point we had went out to dinner and we were brainstorming, and the question was, you know, I wonder if there's a way that we could centralize kind of our own platform where we could connect everyone, not only within the hobby, because, you know, we do have Facebook and people have their own sites for that as well already existing. But, you know, to offer a little bit more where we could connect those people that already exist, but bring people that don't know about our community and hobby from the outside and get them involved and show them how fun foam flinging can be. So the idea was that he knew Nate, I guess, from previously, and said he knew
from college. We went to college together. We won't talk about that on the show.
That's a whole nother podcast. So, you know, he knew Nate as a software designer and said Nate could probably come up with something. And then I came about it because I do video content creation, or at least I like to think I do. He wanted to, you know, do some sizzle reels and just short little video clips to kind of showcase what the World Foam Alliance would be. At this time, it was still just an idea. It wasn't the World Foam Alliance. So I had agreed to that. And then it just kind of evolved. You know, we started doing these meetings and we were able to bring Al the Geek on board, who, you know, does amazing custom painted, fully functional prop blasters that he goes all over to conventions and everything. So he's already got a following. And Captain Xavier and Al the Geek are already friends and had met a few times. So we were able to get Captain Xavier to join. And it just kind of evolved into two things, like providing this platform where we could connect people, make it easy for people that wanted to find clubs that didn't know clubs exist, set up some metrics to see how many people are like in your area and connect those people together. Also to provide tools for people that want to set up their own club that maybe don't know how to do that. So website creation, ticketing sales, merch, things like that. And then with the content creation, that just kind of evolved. Again, because that's something I do already. Al does some of his TikToks and reels and everything, and Xavier has his YouTube channel as well. So we wanted to see if we could generate some quasi-exclusive content specifically for the World Foam Alliance, and that's kind of how that evolved over time. Was, you know, it started out as a platform, and then it kind of grew into this, well, let's create some content. Let's get people from the community to be able to share their content as well, get them some exposure. That'll lead to people that don't know anything about it, hopefully, to our site as well.
Yeah.
And get them exposed. Yeah. And, you know, just create kind of a legitimate hobby space, community space for everyone to be a part of. So
I gotta be honest, the biggest part of this to me is just the fact that this will be like publicly accessible and people will just be able to know this exists. One of the things, actually, when I joined the community, I found the Discord server by accident. I didn't know there was a Nerf Discord community.
By the Discord server, you mean Walcoms, right?
Yeah, I
or is
didn't
it a
realize
different one?
There's because that's the biggest one for those who don't know is Walcom server. I didn't know there were any others. I found this all by accident.
Walcom has the Nerf URL, doesn't he?
I think
so. Like, a lot of people make their way there, I think, without even realizing it's Walcom server. It's just the Nerf server.
It's just like, you don't know any of these other Nerf servers are here because you'd never hear about them. Yeah. Like, outside of the actual server, there's no real, like, talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what that was when I was showing you guys and Andrew and Derek and everyone that constantly showing me Facebook messages, because again, like, I didn't know the scale of it or anything, and they would show me constantly, hey, how do I what do I do? I want to join this event. Where do I go? Like, how do I find a club, et cetera, et cetera? And were Discord messages and Facebook messages of people saying, oh man, I wish there was like an easy way for me to take my son, you know, or how do I, you know, just general confusion. It basically, there's just a lot of what it seemed to me is just a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you could obviously do it, and there's a lot of people, you guys included, I'd say, who have really found your groove and found that formula. But for the general audience, obviously, like, it just takes a little more effort than it should. You know what I mean? Or it could. Maybe that's the best way to say it.
Yeah. Well,
I want to say, even in my case, and I've been in the hobby for a long time, I didn't even find the Discord side of things for a long time into being into the hobby. I found it not by accident, but sort of in a chain of events. I was more into the Facebook sides of things. And then one of the Nerf tubers I was following for a long time, Bobo, started live streaming and announced it on Facebook. He then plugged a Discord. I then became friends with him. And then through him, I found out, holy shit, there's a whole bunch of other Nerf Discords.
That is a random chain of events.
It took a while for me to even figure that out. I don't even think they found out there were Nerf Discords until like 2019. And I had been in the hobby since 2015. So that's like 4 years.
I really appreciate the idea of a site that hopefully streamlines that process. I know that like for a show like ours, we're definitely communicating specifically to people who are already in the hobby, like we're trying to distribute. So like the tone of the show is really kind of is limited around that. And like, you know, for my personal channel, I'm trying to communicate with a specific audience of parents whose like kids are getting into this hobby, but they don't understand what it is, or they don't know how to make good purchase decisions. And like knowing the audience that you're trying to reach out to is such an important and complicated thing. And so what you're doing is almost like brave in a lot of ways to try to like, you know, keep the hobby engaged, but like really try to bring new people
in.
That's always really challenging.
Screw it, we'll do everything kind of thing. Whereas,
Well, I'll say the strategy sort of. So we talked a lot about, you know, okay, how do we. So the first step, obviously, I guess, you know, the website. For what we're trying to do a lot of stuff with it, so the development time, obviously I can't do it full time. None of us are doing any of this full time, obviously. So the tentative launch, at least the schedule right now is that, and it has been for a while, the tentative launch of, you know, the website 1.0 with the features that we want to release first, full bore, is January 1st,
right?
So until that time, the strategy is sort of, okay, well, you know, we want to get all these media pieces together, because what we want the media to do is, the website is the function, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the hub. But what we were like, well, okay, we don't have any advertising money. We need to be able to show through media would be the best bet for us. Everything we're trying to do, from mods, you know, to interviews, we want to show the depth of everything we're going to cover, or everything you can learn and be a part of in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the showcase, and the decision was, well, why don't we just, you know, let's get a piece of the website up early for the community themselves, gauge some interest, start getting these videos, get into the groove of things. 'Cause January 1st is when we're real, you know, that's still the goal, but all this other stuff is sort of, put it out there early as we can to gauge interest and, you know, get our footing, really. So that was sort of the strategy behind what we're doing now.
Well, and so speaking of the features on the website, I would love to hear, you're the perfect person to have on for this. I would love to know, like, sort of, can you break down both, like, the intended launch features and maybe a little bit about what you might have planned for the future for the World Foam Alliance website?
Sure. So at launch, we wanted the core things on the site needed to be, obviously, user profiles. Everybody needs a profile. your phone flinging name, almost like, you know, an Xbox or PlayStation model where everyone has got a name, everyone can sign in. And the other critical step, the other critical step is clubs. Well, the clubs do the same, because what we want is for players to sign in, or fans, or whoever, and we want the clubs to be able to sign in on that end and be able to list every where they are, what they're about on their own page, and just list and broadcast every event they plan to do, and then have players subsequently be able to look on a map, find events, and sort events by whatever criteria they want, game type, cost, if the event costs money, that kind of thing. So really the core features that we intend to have is everyone gets to sign in, create a player name, foam tag name. The clubs, if you're a club admin, you'll be able to sign in, create a club page where you'll be able to list events. And then, so once that's connected, we have a partner called CausePilot, if you want to look them up. What we are planning to do with, and we haven't integrated it yet, but we're going to integrate their software. And it's kind of like a software where that's going to help us. If you are a club and you need to charge tickets to events, mm-hmm. you'll be able to charge tickets on the website if you're a club.
Neat.
And then have the users come and sign in, and you'll know who's coming, you know who's paid, and all that kind of good stuff. So those are the core features of the site, where it's going to be easy to go on there. And then of course we'll have tabs. That's the functionality. We'll have tabs on there with obviously all our media. We're going to have, you know, we plan on having rules where you can look up different game rules and modes, little things to the side, mods, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. But feature wise, that's really the core.
I think one thing, I think one thing too is we are looking at doing kind of player rankings or badges or integrating some type of, you know, ranking system. Nothing like formal, more casual, but say, hey, I've been to this X amount of events, so you get a badge of some sort, or, you know, something like that.
That's right, like Xbox.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say this is IRL Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see.
The other thing I almost thought as a comparison, and it's on my brain since you have a Halo profile picture, was similar to how in Halo you had your ranked. You had your ranked rank, but then outside of that, you earned XP for like just attending normal events. So you had your own external non-competitive rank that was more from stuff you did and other things. And that's kind of what it reminded me.
100% where we borrowed yep. that idea from. So
as a huge Halo fan, I appreciate it.
And we like, cause it, I mean, you know, back in, especially Halo 2, I was a big Halo 2 player, you know, back in the day, you go check those stats and they were pretty hardcore. And so there's going to be, I imagine there are, you guys would know more than me, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who want to do this literally at a professional level. Mm. Hey man, stats, that's up your alley, right? Like you want to be able to track your stats, your career stats. And for the casual player, like you never want to leave anyone out casually who doesn't want to do stats if they don't want to. Or let's say you have just casual stats and let's say you're playing in your backyard and you know, we don't see a problem on the casual mode, enter your own stats in. I mean, yeah, they don't really count for anything, so it's just for bragging rights. But, yeah, stats are a cool idea. And then if you don't care about stats at all and you're never going to hit that page, then achievements to keep you interested in the site. Yeah, have you been to this event? Have you, you know, played this? How much HVZ have you played this year? Here's a, you know, badge. So little things like that to keep engagement high, to, you know, keep the fun. Something for everybody, no matter. We don't want it to be just for pros, you know.
Trying to go across the spectrum. So, you know, casual play, regular club PvP play, and then, you know, we're still figuring out how to do it. But for HVZ, it'd be fun to be able to track how many Zeds you slayed or how many human brains you were able to capture, you know. So just engaging the members is really kind of a huge element of it.
How about many? Mm. How many mods you've done?
Sure, why not?
How about this? How about how many sticks of hot glue you've gone through?
Oh, oh my god. We'll add a hot.
Yeah, I've got the overall highest ranking. What of it?
This is kind of amusing to me in a good way. In a good way, I'll say it, because when I joined the hobby, now people don't pitch it this way anymore due to tonal shift and cultural shift in the hobby. But when I first joined and I found out about this back in like 2015-ish, I remember my friend pitched it to me as, it's like getting to play Halo, or in the case of HVZ, COD Zombies in real life. And that's how it was pitched to me back when I first joined. So this whole thing that feels kind of Xbox Live-esque with like rankings and all that other stuff, it's just kind of like, this is kind of like what I thought I was getting into when I first
joined. Like, who doesn't like Xbox Live?
Exactly.
You know?
I grew
PlayStation.
I
if you're
grew
a PlayStation fan,
stuff.
Nothing wrong. You know?
And I think the ultimate goal, or at least one of the ultimate goals, is, you know, to be able to present to potential sponsors like Monster and Wells Fargo and just kind of big name sponsors that, hey, we have so many people interested in our hobby community. We'd like you to be able to sponsor some of these events that the World Foam Alliance wants to hold, like a tournament or a private HVZ event, you know.
That's a really good idea, because then you can point to them and be like, here's the documentation of all of these actual real people that we know exist, and here are the events they've attended and other stuff. Mm. Or here's how many events they are interested in attending. So it's right. It's definitely more of a, it's a very solidified and very provable way of saying, hey, we actually do have players, they're interested.
Absolutely. And we think, you know, obviously it'll be good all the way around. The more popular, it's obviously, you know, money's only money, but, you know, the more we can make it popular, the bigger we can have events. You know, we could, I mean, think about that. We can have professional players that hopefully one day will be able to play professional, foam fling professionally all day long. That's their main job. That'd be pretty cool. You know, like clubs are the same way. Like, you know, run a club, it's, you know, making sponsorship money with Monster, and now they can throw events all day, every day. You know, you could turn a lot of jobs into the coolest job ever, I think.
And, you know, we're trying to, at some level, at least in the competitive side of it, you know, present it so it's presentable that it could be on ESPN The Ocho, you know, something like that.
Well, I think the goals of this are awesome. I'm so excited. I think that the potential for the hobby is really big, and it's definitely something that we've needed for a long time. I think y'all have a really great team put together too. One of the things that we, you know, we've always felt good about on our show is, you know, among the four of us, we have a really wide skill set and sort of all bring different things. And I feel like you've got something really similar going on there too, Al. And I always think of you, Andrew. I always think of you and your role walking around organizing events at the Megaphone. Actually, you were one of the people that I was thinking about when I, you know, you haven't seen, anyone that's watched the show knows that we're rebranding the site. I'm going to drop this in the chat for y'all to see, but I was thinking about you when I designed the new logo for the show, for the Foam News Collective, after we changed the name of the show, when I made this thing with the Megaphone shape to it, because I feel like that's such an iconic part of event running, is the person walking around with the Megaphone telling everyone what the round is, what's going on, what the timer is, doing the calls and stuff. I thought that was really good.
Oh yeah, especially in stuff like HVZ, I just have this image in my head of like the moderators who are trying to make sure everything's going smoothly, or if there's something that needs to happen, the Megaphone. It just that immediately comes to mind.
Someone's
but yeah,
to have
you know, Xavier has his own style, and Al the Geek is like super solid on like the cosmetic stuff, and Nate is new to the hobby but brings a whole different skill set and like this new like excitement about it, and Derek is embedded in the business side of the hobby and
Absolutely.
Has that perspective. I think it seems like a really varied team, and I have high hopes for this project.
Yeah, I mean, the team is very well spread out, especially even if you consider just times people join, because like Al the Geek, for example, has been in the hobby, I think, longer than I have, or at the very least around the same time, because I remember seeing people reviewing stuff that Al was making back when I first joined.
Yeah.
And like, then we have newer people. We have people that are somewhere in between. And it's just even like experience spread is very good, which is a great thing to have on a team. And that's one of the things, for example, I really value on our Nerf news team here.
Yeah.
We have like four separate people with very different periods in which they joined and other things that they're good at and other stuff. It's a good thing to have to make sure that it's not one person trying to be a jack of all trades. That way there's a little bit more room for specialization to get things a bit more correct.
That's exactly how we feel. I mean, you guys feel it with the team, and that's sort of how, you know, when it got going, it didn't take long. Oh man, like, I think we really could have something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel it. You kind of get a feeling for it too, you know, after you sit in a couple Zoom meetings, or at a certain point you're like, oh yeah, this is a good team. We might be able to accomplish something here. So
yeah, I mean, it was the exact same way with us, because at first it was literally just a random idea, and then as people joined the team, it was like, we might have something here. And we sort of started similar with the, not quite marketing, but we did spread around in Discords, and then started the Discord server at the very least for our thing a month or two before we actually went live with the first episode, and then we launched at the start of the new year and thereon. So I can definitely relate.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it just goes to having a team that you can rely on, and everyone is able to do their own specialty and focus on that. And then the collaboration comes together and you work off of feedback and figure out what works. It's always a work in progress. It's okay to fail sometimes. You have to fail, actually, to learn and from your mistakes and get better. And so,
100%, 100%. You said the collaboration comes together, and I was going to be like, and then you recreate the mesothelioma ad for some reason because of collaboration. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we should move forward. I want to make sure we're going to plug this at the end, but if you haven't already checked out the World Foam Alliance website, you should do that. We will have the link down in the description for sure, as well as the links to Dart Sweep's work. Nate, I don't assume you have a YouTube channel, but no.
I'm behind the scenes usually. Yeah. This is great. It's been a great fun for me so far. Yep. So I appreciate it.
Well, there's a lot left to go through. So I hope it stays that way. The next thing up on the docket here today is to play our game that we play every episode. What's That Blaster? Where one member of the team picks an official Nerf blaster and reads the official description of that blaster with some slight modifications. We remove like the name of the ammo and just say ammo instead, and anything like that would just give it away. And the rest of the team tries to guess. If we can guess it right off the bat, everybody on the team gets 4 points. But then there are 3 lifelines that you can use. One of them is the original retail price of the blaster, the original release year of the blaster, and the original stock capacity of the blaster. So it would be either the onboard ready to fire capacity or the size of the magazine or clip that it came with. And for each one of those, you lose 1 potential point. And then, do you want to be a millionaire rules, essentially. And this time around, we're going to have Grimms do one. And if it's guessed, we all guess together. So everybody just gets points. And guests are sort of just competing to be on the board of guests who have actually guessed correctly, because so far it's only Not Enough Nerf is the only guest that has actually gotten on the leaderboard at all.
And probably will continue to be.
Well, we'll see. So one of the things that's interesting about this game is it's very hard to predict which ones are actually going to be difficult and which ones are actually going to be easy. A few episodes back, I picked there was this single shot. It's like you hold it like a stick almost, and you squeeze it, and it shoots
flyers.
It shoots a small foam Iron Man off the end of it. and Jolt knew what this was.
What did you expect? It's a freaking Jolt. It is, of course I knew what it was.
It's in line, though. It doesn't turn at an angle. I don't think it qualifies as a Jolt.
It's a Jolt.
Still, yes, I get you. Anyway, so you'll be surprised. But anyway, It is Grimm's turn to pick.
I honestly don't know how this one's going to do, but this one is provided to us by Colin Blank, actually, as a suggestion. He recommended this one to me. I was like, okay, this seems interesting. I'll do that next time. So would you guys?
I did just realize one quick thing. I did not put the score. Jolt is winning. I wanted to read the score. Yeah, here it is. Okay. I am currently in the back of the pack with 22 points. Vile has 23, Grimms has 28, and Jolt has 33. I'll put that in the outline, and you can go ahead and read.
Alrighty, we'll let's get started then. This blaster is awesome for quick loading and rapid firing. Sharpen your skills and achieve battle superiority with a quick-firing rotating barrel. Line up your shot and prepare for battle. Simply slide, lock, and load your way to blank victory.
Grimms, I have bad news for you. I think I did this one.
Did you? I don't know. I'm not always on these episodes, so I have absolutely no idea.
I distinctly remember the slide, lock, and load language as being something that actually tricked Jolt and Vile. Hold on. Before we do anything else, I just want to... Dart Sweep, do you have any thoughts on what this could be? Do you want to hear it again?
So, yes.
Okay, read it again, Grim.
Okay, give me a second. This blaster is awesome for quick loading and rapid firing. Sharpen your skills and achieve battle superiority with a quick-firing rotating barrel. Line up your shot and prepare to battle. Simply slide, lock, and load your way to blank victory.
That could be a couple, more than a couple of things.
It's pretty vague in some ways.
Yeah, that's why Colin recommended it to me, because he was like, this is like really, really vague.
Do you think it's the one that you chose, Casey? Is this the one from previous?
I think it is, yes. I have no idea.
I have ideas, but...
You know what I'm actually going to do here? This is highly unusual. I'm going to step out of the competition on this one and then check if it's the one that I think it is.
Is pass an option?
all right. So, Jolt, do you remember that one?
Yeah, I'm
no,
just gonna step
I'm
out.
Like I'm dead inside out. Today. I'm tired.
I was gonna say, because KT says that he used this one, and I'm trying to remember the episode because it's been a while now, and I'm trying to remember on which episode it was that he used this particular. Because I do remember the slide, lock, and load, and
I don't.
Oh, God,
the barrel. Yeah, sorry, my my phone must have cut out.
No, it's all good. Yeah, it is what I thought it was. It is what I thought it was. I don't know if I should just like take the points here.
I would say you get the points. You at the very
well,
least.
Well, so I might be out of line here as the guest.
No,
but
go
I
ahead.
Feel like at least somebody needs to guess. You know, if you already know it.
That's what I. That's I. That's my feeling. I would love to have someone have a guess.
The problem is that I forget after every episode what we actually already did. So I've already had a loss.
I just started managing a spreadsheet so that we could keep track of these things.
thank you. We need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have a list so we don't repick them.
So the fact that this has been used before then, and if it gets people again, I'm gonna
Oh,
well, that's totally what I'm kind of looking forward to. Okay.
It'll get me again every time, probably.
It's gonna get me again
remember.
Just because I'm dead right now.
Why don't you read it one more time? And then maybe folks can use a lifeline or two.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Let's get started. This blaster is awesome for quick loading and rapid firing. Sharpen your skills and achieve battle superiority with a quick-firing rotating barrel. Line up your shot and prepare for battle. Simply slide, lock, and load your way to blank victory.
Wait, is this the Maverick?
Is it a strong arm?
I think this was something stupid like the Maverick, wasn't it?
I think I'm remembering now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the I think it was the Maverick, because it was very short and to the point. And I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure it was the Maverick, because I remember that one messed us up before.
Now I'm wondering if my other one I was going to pick has also been covered, because it's also short and to the point.
Oh no. Well, I mean, there's a lot of blasters out there, and we've done 18 episodes.
Let's be fair. Let's use a lifeline. Let's use a lifeline.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stick right here, and I'm just gonna hold to it, and I'm just gonna say Maverick. So that's where I'm gonna sit. I'm not using a lifeline. I just want to say that. Y'all go from here on out.
Fine, I'll go with Maverick. I don't care anymore.
We are breaking the rules of the game today, but it's fine. We're shattering them on the floor.
Fine, we're going Maverick. We're going Maverick.
I'm fine with Maverick. I was going to say strong arm, but Maverick sounds better.
I just wanted to, because from what I remember, was an early and elite blaster causing us problems.
I remember. Here's the thing, though. It wouldn't be Strongarm, because Strongarm would have elite somewhere in the language, because it was one of the first couple elite blasters.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell we've done this too much?
Well, again, if you want to use a lifeline, I just want to pull down and just say Maverick and just cast my vote right there.
Screw it. I'm a vile.
Top Gun. Let's do it. Top Gun.
I don't know anything.
Final answer.
That is my
Maverick. I'm Goose? So tired. I don't care anymore.
All right, you are correct. It is the Maverick.
Yes,
we're all winners.
And I specifically remember that when I picked this one, I stumped Vile and Jolt because it has language like quick firing and like rapid something and slide lock and load.
Yeah,
but the thing is. And this is one of the things that we've discovered while doing this, is the way the language is applied is very much determined by the era in which the blaster came out. Because the idea of slide, lock, and load was like new and exciting at the time. Now it's just like default blaster behavior.
Look at the reason I can't pick any of the early elite blasters, for example, is they like blare everywhere. This is an elite blaster in the description. Yeah. Or with the Elite 2.0 stuff, they all say they included in-strike barrel lug, stock attachment point, and tactical rail. So it just immediately becomes obvious what line it came from.
So this was... first of all, compliments on your choice, Grim. I think this was a great selection.
Well, that would be compliments on Colin Blanksmart in this sense.
Yeah.
Well done,
well,
Colin.
Tell Colin to catch up on the podcast, because... All right, I don't know how to award points for this, so we can discuss that later.
I am also confused on how to do that, but at the same time, in between you guys guessing, I've been like fighting a mosquito that I haven't been able to kill just yet.
Oh no!
Okay, and it's like so hot in my room, so I have like a tank top, and so it's like nipping at me.
The mosquito's coming for the vampire. That's incredible.
I am gonna do this. I am gonna put Dart Sweep and Nate on the board with 4 points each. Which means that
Of course.
I think that for sure is fair to do here.
Not enough. I think not that's enough more than Nerf fair, is the real winner, though.
Yeah, agreed. But as far as the four of us, I'm not really sure what to do there. We can figure that out later. But for the time being, we can move on to what wound up being our lead story on the show: a new blaster by Worker, the Worker Seagull. Another one of these segments that started with a sight gag and turned into a ridiculous production. Y'all haven't seen the show yet, Dart Sweep and Nate, but it's not a spoiler now, because hopefully anybody listening to this has watched the show already. But if you know the maybe I don't need to spoil it for you. Maybe we can just talk about the blaster and you
niche
can enjoy
internet
that.
Humor and meme making is all I'm good for. And like obscure and like obscure facts from like early hobby history. Like that's all I'm good for. Yep. That's it right there.
That's where the segment went, and it goes pretty deep, so you can look forward to that. The Worker Seagull seems like it's basically a slightly smaller Harrier. And the thoughts about it that I had, one is that it seemed to have kind of a weird launch, but it seems like Worker kind of does that a lot, where products just sort of like fall off the truck into the hobby's hands? Like it doesn't.
Yeah,
there isn't like a
like
coordinated.
All right, here you go, blaster. All right, goodbye. Do with it what you want. Bye.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Nerf sends their products out to a billion people. Dart Zone has like a very sort of complicated announcement process. Buzzbee sort of doesn't have any fanfare. They just do it. And Worker is just sort of like.
Buzzbee stuff just shows up. It's just on store shelves.
It's kind
of
weird because Worker for the longest time was shipping these big packages to Nerf influencers back when they were like early days. And anytime they made a new kit for a blaster. But then I guess they just somewhere in between realized, hey, we don't have to do this. And also YouTube isn't netting us as much views as possible. We can just shit out a release and then people will know and they'll buy it. Cool.
Well, and they've also had a pretty significant shift from primarily making kits where you need to have a knowledgeable person to use the kit on video to show off what it does, as opposed to blasters, which you can put in anybody's hands that use the blaster.
And plus mainline hobby shops that are fairly well known in the hobby now at this point are the ones retailing the stuff in the United States and other parts of the world. So it's just like they don't even have to deal with that part. It's kind of just on their part now.
But the Seagull, does this blaster have a place in the hobby? Is it competing with the Unicorn for space? Is there a lot of people who are going to want this over a Harrier? I mean, I guess there's a price difference, but Joel, go ahead.
I'm going to go with this is kind of somewhere in between. I think it's doing what the Harrier was trying to do, but the Harrier was too big. The Harrier is great for higher FPS, sure, but if you don't need that higher FPS, why do you need a blaster that large?
I mean, we already had the Swift.
It's also not quite even, but it's also in the middle in the fact that it's not trying to be the Unicorn. It's nowhere near as compact as that. Mm. And it hits harder than that, too. So it's kind of its own thing.
Have any of us gotten our hands on a Unicorn yet?
Yes, Darcy, I'm literally holding mine.
Jolt's got one.
I have a Unicorn.
Oh, that's right. Jolt has one. That's right.
Yeah, I have a Unicorn.
I've also seen
well.
One in person at Banshee's house when I was visiting. It's pretty compact.
It's pretty comfy. I love mine, and that's one of the reasons why. Sorry, Worker. I won't be picking up a Seagull. I've got my pump action Springer.
I mean, Dart Sweep, are you interested to like compare them or anything?
Yeah, I mean, so like I originally had a Swift, and had they released the Harrier around the same time, I definitely would have opted for a Harrier. So I almost kind of feel this is kind of a little bit similar, except reverse a little bit with the Unicorn. I have a Unicorn, but had I known that the Seagull was going to be available, I probably would have opted for the Seagull because I want that slightly increased performance personally, even though it is a trade-off for the size, you know? But the Unicorn is a fantastic blaster. I mean, if you want something 140, 150-ish right out of the box, it's really tough to beat for what's it retail for, like $90, $100?
Something in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people interested in it for an HVZ blaster even because it's not too hard to tune it down. It's durable and it's like super compact because it's good for like that 130 up to like 150 range. I'm sure you can get it higher than that, but out of the box at the very least.
Yeah, I've added a couple. I added double coiled it basically. So mine's close to 200 with not too hefty of a prime. Okay. But you know, it's tough to beat that form factor. It's a solid blaster. It feels good in your hand.
It really does.
If the Unicorn fits in that space, then where does the Seagull fit in?
I think the Seagull is like, I would put it in the same realm as like a Trion, kind of, where it's like a full sized primary, but not enormous primary.
I guess this is a weird take, but I almost say, why does it matter? And the reason I say that is because people are very, I guess, and everyone's very different. We all have our own taste and we're all nuanced. And so everyone else is going to have different aesthetic tastes. One person may look at the Unicorn and it's like the most beautiful blaster they've ever seen. And someone else might look at it and it's like hot dog water. But then they look at the Seagull, and it's like everything they've ever wanted in a blaster. So it's just kind of like,
I am personally very attracted to the color options on the seagull.
Oh yeah,
I also kind of like that a lot. The color options.
The new Ooh. Direction design language wise, Worker has been going with their products since they've all been made by the same designer. Shell wise, I like the design language and how smooth it kind of feels. It's almost kind of gives me like sci-fi, almost Destiny vibes to a degree. Mm. So it really sings to me in that regard.
I also
a little gorgeous. More organic.
I also feel like at this point you pretty much know what to expect when you get a Worker blaster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you know, right. It's going to work pretty much, you know? And if you want to tune it up, you can. If you want to detune it, go for it.
It's a good thing they didn't call their company Doesn't Worker, because then they might be in mm-hmm. trouble.
I'd almost argue as well that if it is a response from Worker, I'd almost say Worker doesn't really need to, per se. Since Worker has its own customer base already, that's if they're into Worker blasters, they're just going to get the next Worker release when it comes out, type of thing. So I just kind of feel like they're in this safer position where they don't necessarily have to worry about that as much. Like, I'm sure it's definitely a concern and would affect profit, but it's not going to cripple them not to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to come down to preference, really. You know, do you want to spend the extra $20 or whatever the seagull's going to cost, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I know anyone local, they're talking about getting a seagull over a Harrier, because everyone has seen the Harrier that one of the guys has, and he actually wanted to see something more seagull-sized, but they like the build quality on it and the feature set on it a bit more than they do the aesthetic of the unicorn, so... At least locally, I know it's kind of just Tryon or Seagull is what it sounded like the move is for them.
Hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong, the Seagull looks like an amazing blaster. I just don't need it.
Yeah. Well,
it's
I think
pump
there's
action
a lot of
Springer
people...
fatigue. I already have all there's the pump action Springers that I need.
Yes. We talk about this a lot. The phrase primary class Springer is sort of like a running joke on
the
this
amount
podcast,
of times I've said
like
that in a segment.
Week.
It's. I mean, to be fair, I will say the Midwest, at least the area of the Midwest I'm in, we didn't move on to Half-Darts until more recent years. Hell, I didn't even start doing Half-Dart only until 2022. And since I'm very budget constrained, I still don't, other than my links and my slab, which I have for different purposes, and my links still needs to be tuned more. Those are the only, like, primarily Half-Dart only blasters I have, I think. So it's just kind of like, I'm still in the market for that kind of stuff. And I'm a bit more, I'm a very aesthetics oriented person. So some of these new options I appreciate, but not everyone's in that space. A lot of people have just had half darts since like literally 2015 with slugs and other stuff like that. So it's like some people, they already have everything they need.
And thinking back also, you know, we started, the first thing we talked about today was the X shot long shot being appearing in a wide variety of places. And it seems like the blasters like that, like the long shot specifically is sort of becoming what the Nexus Pro was in like 2020, where it's sort of the thing that everybody says, oh, just go get that. Oh, just go get that. Like if you're
just
you know, the
get
hobby.
A Nexus Pro.
Right. And now it's get a long shot. And I mean, like, actually, I want to ask Nate, as someone who's relatively new to this, I don't know if you've actually like bought any blasters or gone out playing yet. Have you received advice like that? Trying to make your first blaster selection, and would you consider getting something like how much is the unicorn? Who did the
unicorn's like 90?
I want to say 90, but it comes out to like 100 with shipping and handling.
There you go. As opposed to like the long shot, right? It hits like in its stock form, it hits around the same numbers, but like it's relatively easy to dial it up or dial it down. Have you thought about this, Nate? Have you like heard?
I'll say I haven't. I've looked at the unicorn right now on the old internet, and it looks slick. I'll say
it is
looks good. I'm more a fan of my zero experience here to the viewers or the listeners. I am more a fan of. I'd rather have something personally, at least I think, that I could hold comfortably at firing position and use for an extended period of time and like not get tired doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I think that would help me more. And just over time, something like the unicorn, man, that thing that's right up my alley. I mean, it looks compact enough. Now granted, you know, I don't know the,
well, does spending $100 on something like that make you think twice?
So I would, fairness, well, 10 years ago, yes. Today, probably not.
Well, and understanding that, like, you're not really explicitly the target audience for a blaster like this if you're relatively new to the hobby, but you're also right. surrounded by hobby people now, so...
If I was in my 20s, so, like, just in my current position in life, I suppose. So, if I was in my 20s, sure. I'm in my early 30s now. It's not nearly as big of an ask. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, so that's not a price point. I would say any kind of thing, just about anything, about the $300 mark is when I would like, I would say for...
We need to get Nate a full auto flywheeler or AAB, and then he's sold on it.
It's like I found, I messed around with a few of them. Derek really showing me through the ropes, and they, oh my goodness, all the different types of, now granted they're all dart zones because we were at an event, which was amazingly fun, but I don't know, it's hard for me to say I haven't really played in any kind of event at like, all right, here we go, high performance level, we're gonna do it
totally.
So I don't know for sure, but I tend
just
to...
Just on gut feeling, you know?
I think the Unicorn is something that I'd like. I mean, it's just compact enough.
It's much smaller than you would expect it to be, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't realize
one of the things that we talk about a lot now is, you know, when the Nexus Pro came out, it was, I think, appropriately lauded for what it represented at the time in the hobby. Sort of an entry level way to get into short darts. But it has things about it. Grim and I have talked about this a lot. It has a lot of
I've talked about this ad nauseum probably.
Yeah, it has a lot of priming slot because it's designed to take both the long darts and the short darts. The X Shot Long Shot now does that same thing, but it doesn't have that priming slot. And it's not because like Dart Zone did a bad job making the Nexus, it's because we're this many more years into the hobby and we figured out what the things are that cause that like make blasters unpleasant to use, and like the standards have changed and the expectations have changed.
Well, also the Nexus Pro was based very heavily off of the Prophecy Retaliator platform, which inherently doesn't have enough draw for full lengths, so they did whatever they could to make it do so.
Which that is also true.
Is where the slop came from.
That is also true. But a blaster like the Seagull is only designed to do half darts, and so it's very purpose built for that thing, and that allows it to be small. That's one of the things that allows it to be smaller, but it also, just should make it smoother to operate. Obviously, I haven't used one, but it should make it smoother to operate, like the Harrier, despite its size. Okay. So
that's what it would come down for me. I'll tell you that. Like better on just like how you use it, how smooth is it to use the action over and over.
Well, and that's one of the challenges, I think, for a brand like Worker, and one of the reasons that IRL events and organizing events and be able to get people together is so important, because you can't go to a store and try a Worker blaster. They're sold.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I was in the mindset of I'll never be interested in a Harrier or anything like that. I have some. I can just hit up my friends for 3D printed blasters, which I still probably will because I like supporting them. But at the same time, when I tried a Harrier in person, I was like, that's unnaturally smooth to prime. Like, holy crap. And so it immediately went from probably not to, well, maybe. Hold on.
Yeah.
Good to use.
Yeah. I picked up a Swift on sale as Foam Blast was closing, and I keep it just tuned as hard as I can keep it tuned, just literally as a piece to have in here to show people, like, what sort of like the higher end can feel like to have a thing that I can like snipe stuff from across the lawn just to show people what's possible. And even at like high spring loads, it's like, it's just like, it just feels slick. Like it just works really well. Yeah. And I really appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
But let us switch from the world of pro blasters to the upside down of toy and prop stuff, and talk for a second about the Stranger Things line. This is one of the things that dropped on us just as we were trying to start the podcast, and we're trying to parse all this information. We've known about the Adventure 4 Stranger Things line for a bit. The Babysitter's Bat was shown by a Twitter account from the Stranger Things writers, like just before the writing strike started. And we also knew about the Demogorgon finder thing. We did find out in the recent Dart Zone podcast that the mouth on that opens. But the thing that I think is the most interesting about this, Adventure Force, of course, is the brand name owned by Walmart that multiple blaster brands, Dart Zone, X-Shot, although X-Shot hasn't done it for a while, but apparently they're coming back into it, and Buzzbee all released different products under, as well as a bevy of other non-blaster related toys under the Adventure Force brand. Here we have a situation where Adventure Force has the license for Stranger Things, but it looks like the third blaster in this line is actually going to be, even though the first two are made by Dart Zone, this third one is actually going to be made by Buzzbee. And it looks like it is Buzzbee's existing slingshot redesigned to look like... I guess I haven't watched Stranger Things in a while, so I don't know how much this looks like whatever the slingshot looks like in Stranger Things. Isn't it just a wooden slingshot in the show?
It's Lucas's.
Yeah, it's just a standard.
It's Lucas's slingshot, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Bit of an aside, I just killed the mosquito.
Okay, that's got to be the show title. I just killed the mosquito.
Okay, Lucas has... Here, let me... No, I can't do that. It's not letting me drop the picture. Drop the picture. Lucas has a slingshot that is like a pretty nice slingshot that actually has like a like an arm brace. I dropped it in the chat there.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be real. I've never seen an episode of Stranger Things before. It just doesn't interest me, but the blasters are interesting.
Oh, really?
It's a good show. It's really fun.
See stuff like Person of Interest back in the day when I was watching TV was more my thing. I'm not super into like TV shows these days, but
yeah.
You can skip season 2 or at least the first half of it.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who's going to be like, "Oh, I can't believe you didn't watch this TV show. You're uncultured." It's just like, you know, if you're in the mood to watch a TV show, that was a good TV show.
If I get back into them, it's like, on the list of things I'll probably check out, because I haven't watched movies or TV shows regularly in, I want to say, like 3 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just been kind of a thing I just stopped doing. But if I do go back to them, it is something I'm considering.
Okay, so I just popped the new product in there as well. And it actually, it has the arm brace.
And that's definitely Buzzbee. You can tell by the darts in the design language.
Right. It's very much Buzzbee. It's got the dart. It's got the very solid sort of color.
Very interesting. It's that reverse plunger thing. I actually just bought one of these where it has a little elastic band, and that's the power source. That's kind of cool.
I've actually seen this blaster. I remember watching Mongoose Jake doing a video over it, and he's saying it was a really fun toy, and it was actually fun. Or what? I think Beret also covered it.
I did a short about this as well, because we did one of the games I used to go to would do a game type that was all slingshots.
Yeah, I remember seeing yours, because I remember like 3 all at once.
Well, you did it the way where if you get tagged, you have to put your slingshot down, and you have to go get another one out of the bucket.
And
you're only allowed, and those are your team's lives. Similar to that, people do that with like, six shot revolvers and stuff. But so for this, you're allowed to pick up ammo off the ground or carry extra ammo, but the slingshot itself is your life, and you put it down when you get tagged.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of fun because like they have sort of a weird mix of like, it's a funky blaster, but like you can apply skill to it, but there's also some sort of randomness. It's a lot of fun. And I think this one looks really, really cool. How weird is it to see a license? I can't even think of another license that's like been held by, I guess, Halo.
Okay, so what's interesting to me here is that the license was not held by the company. It's held by Walmart, Adventure Force, which explains to me something. I remember the Dart Zone Dictator was originally meant to be a Jurassic World tie-in, like the Jurassic Pro was, but that didn't end up happening. Mm. And I guess that explains why it was recycled into something else, is because they couldn't use the license. The license probably belonged to Walmart.
That you're probably right. If it's,
I mean, it looks like it would be a lot of fun for like HVZ, honestly.
Yes, I agree. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I remember Bray one time went to Endwar and literally just used a Maverick and did just fine. I feel like this would be hilariously good fun to use as just a only slingshot HVZ Endwar challenge.
Well, yeah, if you started an HVZ with one of those things with a limited ammo situation, just go all the way, man.
Yeah.
One. Just go down to one.
I mean, I remember one of my friends at Endwar 2022, we got in a discussion with some of our friends there because we weren't actually participating in day one, and then we showed up as zombies the next day. But anyways, while we were talking to some of the organizers about details, the Horde came. Now, my friend got scared, kinda, and panicked, and he ran off with the rest of the players while we were talking to the organizers at Endwar, and he joined the player squad, and then we went off to a pub to go eat, and then we realized, oh, hey, where did our friend go? And then we found out he had been there all night participating in the HVZ, and he only had a singular mag and zero darts on him when he started.
Oh my god.
And he had just survived the entire first mission by himself, basically. Just panicking, running around confused with limited ammo and one mag.
I love that. I love that kind of stuff is possible at HVZs. That's super fun.
It was hilarious, yeah, because he ended up just after he completed the mission, he walked all the way back to the Airbnb after we had finished at the pub, and we were just hearing his story about it. It was interesting.
Okay, one last thing to finish this episode off. I always like to end with sort of a lighthearted little round robin question. I'm going to drop an image in the chat again, and this is kind of a large image. You may need to, especially if you're on mobile, you may need to open it up and scroll around. One of the things on the new show this time around is the open house that Out of Darts will be holding at their Washington headquarters. And what this is an image of, thank you very much to Perry from Out of Darts for sending me this, actually going and taking a new picture, because they didn't have an up-to-date picture of the wall behind the filming stage at the Out of Darts warehouse. But for this round robin question, let's say hypothetically, and I'm not saying that this is absolutely not what's happening at the Out of Darts open house. If you had an opportunity to play around with or use in an event or even take home one of the blasters off of the Out of Darts wall, what would be the first thing you would go for?
Oh,
I already know my answer.
Yeah, I already know
my answer.
All right, I heard Andrew say that he knew what his pick was.
I'm gonna go I'm going dead center for that momentum.
Ooh, why?
I'm a sucker for performance. I have a spirit, but if I had $650 to spend right now, I would definitely grab a momentum and some extra batteries, of course.
Makes sense.
So my pick is a little bit more multi. The answer is only one. The first one I'll preface as why I'm not picking it, but why to a degree it would be my first pick. When I went to my last Out of Darts war, when I was up in the area, it was one of the first wars open to the general public. So when I was there, I was on Drak's team, and he didn't have a blaster since he had just gotten off of a plane for the Flux Labs opening. He didn't have any blasters with him. Luke lent him a Talon Claw. I think I've told Jolt this story before. And how it ended up happening is he's like, this thing has a bit too beefy of a prime, I think, for the FPS cap, but Luke's my friend and he usually means well. I'll just trust him on this one. And as soon as the game starts, you see a dart nail all the way to the end of the warehouse and you hear someone yell, ow! And it turned out it was Luke. Drak had nailed Luke directly in the middle of the forehead with with the Talon Claw he was handed. And it turned out that the FPS cap there was 150. it was hitting like 240.
Oh my god.
And it was like a dead accurate nail in the middle of the head. Everyone laughed so hard. So for jokes, I'd pick that one. But in all seriousness, the thing that's probably more up my style that I'd actually pick is the skew bow. It's not the most practical thing in the world, but it's right up my more old school alley. The other thing I really liked using while I was there was I borrowed a inline clip Rival Fate while I was up there. I had some good fun with those. So stuff like that's a bit more up my alley, even though the easy choice is the momentum. The Skewbow would feel a little bit closer to home and what I prefer.
I mean, the momentum sounds really fun, but with skimming over what's actually on the wall right here myself, I am definitely, well, the Skewbow looks really, really good. But I think the thing I'm honestly drawn to is the Proton Pack. I haven't had a chance to use one, and they're hard to get now. And I would really, really love to play with that. But I think even more than that, I might want to play with the Hurricane because that's kind of the original. Just to have.
Oh yeah, if Rival was like up my alley, that was going to be my next pick. Just because that thing, just even as a piece of history, is a piece of history.
I would love to just play with one of those for a while.
It was cool getting to see it in person. It was really cool.
Proton packs are extremely fun, but it's almost a cheat code.
Yeah, I know. But you know, there's something to that sometimes.
For sure.
Nate, looking at this picture, and not maybe not knowing what any of these things are, what draws your eye?
I'm telling you, you guys have been talking about all that stuff, and I've been absorbing this entire wall with sheer amazement. And I'll tell you the order of things that I would use. What drew my eye immediately out of all of this was that manta ray looking one.
Yes.
The manta ray.
I
have to give that a try.
Those are fun.
Break
on you, they're fun.
Yeah, maybe Jolt should explain what the manta ray is.
I have one, and it is gloriously fun. It is a vintage blaster that is quite fragile. The shield of it can crack and break apart. It's a shotgun, too, by the way. It'll fire two darts out of each side. And it'll fire just about anything. It'll fire Mega. It'll fire Rival. It'll fire Hyper. It'll fire Half Darts. It'll fire Full Darts. The only thing it won't seem to fire is Ultra, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you watch the original ads from when it came out, it was intended to be both Blaster and Shield. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I see. It's never something I'd look and say, that's going to be comfortable to use. But it just immediately drew my eye. So it's like, well, I've got to choose. How can I not pick that one?
It's very cool.
I fired the Omnia Pro before, which has been one of the 10 blasters I fired for a time. And so I've used that one before. That's probably what I've used practically just because I know how it works.
Right.
And then when I inevitably get destroyed, I would choose the Game Boy original.
Nice.
All above the manta, sitting out, waiting to get back in.
So that Game Boy is actually a blaster. I forget who designed that thing.
I think it's Bow and Bow Innovations.
Yeah, that sounds
thank
right.
You.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I want to try that one. That's the one I want to try.
Yeah, they go by Bobo Innovations now, but they used to go by Bow and Bow because I think it's two people. It gets confusing because then there's Bobo Lolo and he goes by Bobo. And so that's just why I refer to them.
But
as
yeah, Nate, that thing is actually, it's like a little tiny transformer that like opens up and you can like put darts in it.
It's amazing. Adorable. And that will be my pick because that thing's just too cute.
That was very good.
That would be amazing.
All right, Vile, what are you going for?
Well, out of most of the stuff on the wall, I own a lot of it already. I really do. Even the Proton Pack, I have a Proton Pack.
Well, you know, a handful of these things, you look at them, and if you look at them closely again, it's like, oh, wait, like the long shot. There's a long shot, a Zombie Strike long shot on the left. And at first glance, it's like, oh, it's a long shot. And then you look again, and
the special one with the custom bars and everything.
Stock and thumb hole section to it.
And the Ultra Select has the mod kit that they designed but never released.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of stuff
like that. It's funny because the thing I was going to pick before I saw the Skewbow was either the Skewer or that long shot, just because it's kind of like up my old school alley a little bit more still.
Okay, but Vile, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was going to be the Manta. That's one that I don't actually.
Excellent taste.
That is one I don't have, and The like, in all honesty, that's the one I want to mess with. That's the one I want to play with. I don't care. I don't care if it's underpowered. I don't care if it's easy to break.
I mean, I'll tell you this as
a game with.
I'll tell you this, having played in Out of Darts Warehouse, you could absolutely rip with that thing. I mean, hell, Bray was doing the Nerf Gelfire TikTok challenge thing. He only pretty much used the Gelfire Mythic shooting single shot rival, and he tagged me out numerous times with the Gelfire Mythic just shooting rival. And
that's amazing.
So it's like, I can tell you, you can have all the like best blasters in that warehouse, and you can still get tagged out by a hidden beret using a Gelfire Mythic single shot. So I mean, go for it. It'll yep. work.
That's my blaster of choice out of that wall.
I always say it's fabulous. Definitely the player, not the blaster.
Yes. I think that's one of the things that makes this sport so special, right? Is the freedom that we have to like mess around with silly gear and have a really good time and still be competitive and real, like, you know, maybe not a top level competitive event or whatever, but like generally speaking, it's such a more playful sport.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you one of my favorite experiences that's most memorable to me in a war is when I tagged out like a Lynx user that was tuned for like 200 some, like 5 times in the same game with a long shot front gun, unmodded. So
yeah, absolutely. We used to play like Defend the Core, where you have to get ammo into a target to score points. The thing that won the game for me was like a little HAMP rocket launcher, because the rockets were worth a bunch of points. Right. And so it was like, you know, I had someone with an FDL on one side and someone with like a high power sniper of some kind on the other side guarding me, so I could run up there and just hamp a rocket into the thing. And that's where the game win came from.
Yeah,
I
think that's where I got used to that sort of stuff, because back when I started, that we didn't have any clubs. The only thing around was a couple arenas, and there were people with like modded stripes and FDLs that always got put on the same team since they were friends with the owners. And I just had a unmodded stock Raven, so I don't know what to say. I got put on the team with like everyone with the stock blasters, and everyone that's usually so put cool. me in charge, and I had a stock Raven. So it's
I do know what Derek would choose off the wall from Derek Sykes from Dart Zone. He would choose the Swift because he wanted to see how hard 300 FPS would feel, so he asked me to shoot him less than a foot away on the back of his calf, and I did that, and it definitely broke skin, and he definitely still has a scar to this day. So,
oh my god,
life decisions,
wow.
Right?
Wow. Yeah. Well, at least it's a story that he can carry with him.
I mean, yeah, I still have a story like that, because back in the day when FVJs weren't as regulated, there was a kid who showed up to a club with a single Titan, and yeah, you can kind of guess where that went. I remember trying to dodge the dart, thinking I dodged, then putting my hand up to my lips and noticing blood, and like the surface skin of my lip got all ripped off, and it's never healed back properly, because that FVJ single Titan, like, or off the top layer of the skin off my lip.
You got to watch out for those kids. You got to crack down on that stuff.
We didn't have clubs back then. This was literally was just some like school. No, this was a school organized like Nerf war that they just didn't know about the hobby or anything else. So it was a thing. And this is why anytime there's high FPS, I either know the people showing up and make sure I know the ammo pool, or I'm wearing a face mask, full face.
Yep.
There is no in between anymore.
Well, with that, I think it's time for us to rein this in. Thank you both so much for being here, Nate and Andrew, for coming on today to talk about WFA and to banter with us. Please take a moment to plug WFA in your own work. Let us know where people can find you.
Sure, I'll go first. Probably because I'll plug my stuff first, but you can find me on.
I have nothing to plug. You go ahead.
You can plug the WFA. You can find me, Andrew, aka Dart Sweep, mostly on Facebook when I'm spamming posts. Also on TikTok under Dart Sweep, and on YouTube as well, Dart Sweep. I forget what the numbers are after that, but
We'll have a link. Yeah. We'll have a link.
And also on the Maryland Foam Alliance website as well. And yeah, I think that's it.
And of course, for the WFA, everybody go to worldfoamalliance.org. Be sure to sign up. We do giveaways. We are going to be the best website of all time. really going to. That wasn't a pitch enough.
And the most humble, too.
Yeah, it's the most humble. We are humble. We're a humble team. I'm Nate. I do the software. You can find me on Discord in our channel. I'm Womp. Don't at me. And. That's it. There we had a great time, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you again for coming on. And for the regular team, of course, check us all out on YouTube. Vile streams on Twitch on Friday and Saturday night, so if you're listening to this podcast when it released, you can probably catch some or all of us hanging out in Vile stream, twitch.tv/vile_mods.
Probably modding something right now. At this very moment,
most likely. and you can catch all the links to all of our work down in the description as well. And with that, it has been an hour and a half, and we still have to finish the show. So
yeah, I have to like get back to recording, and it's like 100 degrees in my room right now. So like...
yeah. So we better. I also have a thunderstorm going on outside. It hasn't been picked up, I don't think, in the mic, but I could potentially lose internet. I could potentially lose internet and/or power at any moment. So,
oh no!
For me, the night is still young. I still have a ton of hot glue to eat. So
I'm sure you do, Jolt. All right. Thanks, you all. Have a great night.